speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A very Merry Christmas to all of you. It is so wonderful to have you all here on this Christmas morning. Last Sunday, we held our annual Christmas pageant here at St. Cross. The children and youth put on an awesome performance involving all the usual suspects, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, of course. And we even had George the Golden Retriever dressed up as a camel. It was very exciting, and it was a lot of fun to see the young people at this church tell the story that so many of us are used to hearing this time of year. The truth is that most Christmas pageants are based off of Luke and Matthew's Gospels, which recount the details of Jesus' birth. John's Gospel, on the other hand, the Gospel from which our lesson this morning comes, starts the story of Jesus' earthly life with Jesus already as an adult. There's actually no mention of his birth whatsoever. But what is unique to John's Gospel is that before we hear anything about Jesus' earthly life, we get what is known as the prologue. And it's this prologue we hear on Christmas morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him. And then it goes on about John the Baptist being sent from God to testify to the light. And I always thought it'd be kind of fun to do a Christmas pageant based on John's Gospel. It'd probably involve just a narrator standing right where I am, reading the prologue we just heard, maybe having some candles in the dark, perhaps even an abstract art display to represent all the poetic language we hear in John's Gospel. And then, of course, there'd be a kid dressed up in camel's hair to represent John the Baptist running around the church telling people to make straight the way of the Lord, and boom, there you have it, Christmas pageant done. Probably not the story we're used to hearing on Christmas. And even though it's not the Christmas story we're used to hearing, John's prologue points to the very heart of what we celebrate on Christmas Day. God's Word, which brings all things into being and is with God and is God right from the very start, is made flesh and dwells among us. The Creator of all that is comes among us in fragile human form so that we might know God more fully. God loves humanity so much that God enters into the messiness of human existence so that we might be drawn into relationship. And as you might imagine, the implications of God taking on flesh and bone are pretty remarkable. For one, it allows us to experience and know what God is like. Martin Luther, the great figure of the Protestant Reformation, called Jesus the mirror of the Father's heart. The mirror of the Father's heart. In other words, in Christ, we know what God is like. We know what God cares about. We know what matters to God. It is through the life of Jesus we understand that God is loving and caring and on the side of those who are less fortunate and is deeply invested in human beings. In Jesus, God reveals what has been true all along. God is the endless circulation of unconditional love spilling out into creation. And we learn our true joy when we allow ourselves to be drawn into and participate in that unconditional love. In addition to allowing us to know God more fully, God coming among us in vulnerable human form also has remarkable implications for our own humanity. Jesus enters into the dirt and grime of human existence so that all of humanity may be restored to the light of life. And it means that all people, no matter who you are or where you're coming from, or how broken our lives may seem, are vessels of divine purpose. The life of God is in each and every single one of us, and Jesus comes to awaken us to that. And we get glimpses of that life every once in a while. The author Michael Gerson wrote, "When we are thinking clearly, most of us can recall glimpses of purpose, beauty, and glory in our lives, in the overwhelming calm and joy of holding our child close, in the majesty and marvelous internal order of nature, in art or music that touches our deepest being, in the undeserved sacrificial love of a friend. These are not logical proofs. They are signposts pointing in the direction of grace." So, whether it be a traditional Christmas pageant, or maybe an abstract pageant based on John's gospel, which I may try to convince Reverend Rachel to let us do next year, on this day, we celebrate the embodiment of God's grace coming among us in human flesh, so that we might know God and recognize ourselves as God's beloved. God is for us. God is in us. God is with us. That is worth celebrating this day and always. Merry Christmas. Amen.